I want you to come with me on Easter Sunday morning. It's just before dawn on Sunday morning. The air has a crisp air in it as a new day because, you see, it's the first day of the week. And it's first light just coming up. You're walking to Joseph's tomb, that is the burial place of Jesus, and you're not alone because Mary Magdalene's with you and so's the other Mary. You love Jesus so much. You've been so excited to be able to anoint the body of Jesus, but you realize you had to wait now until after the Sabbath had passed in order to accomplish this task, but you're not far from the tomb now. It lies just beyond the next hill of trees in the garden. And all of a sudden, the earth begins to shake like it had never shaken before. You actually begin to wonder if you are going to survive this earthquake. You've experienced the earth moving before, but not like this one. This one is differently. You could tell that it was so different from anything else you'd ever experienced. And the quake almost ends as quickly as it had begun. Stunned and somewhat disoriented, you attempt to get back up on your feet. And as your body begins to get back some type of normality of movement and balance as the ground has moved from you, you now can see the tomb in the short distance. You'd hope to find the tomb just as you had left it on Friday evening before the Sabbath. But now the stone has been moved out from its rut. And then your heart and your eyes become transfixed on an angel that's sitting on top of that stone. His clothing is so bright, you have to shield your eyes from the sheer brightness and the purity of his countenance. You look around. And there are three Roman guards that are passed out, or at least they look like they're passed out. You can tell they literally fell down in the place where they had been standing. Though you could see they were breathing, those men actually look like they're dead. And the angel speaks, "Don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, and he's going before you into Galilee." Well, you're so overwhelmed by the angel that you drop the spices you had in your hand to anoint the body of Jesus, and you run quickly from the tomb, doing exactly what the angel had told you to do. Great joy fills your heart. You know Jesus is alive. And then, in your running and all your excitement to get to Galilee, you're stopped by a man. And the minute you're stopped, he says, "Rejoice." And you immediately know, this is Jesus. You believe in Jesus because you've seen him, you've been with him, and you continue now to run to Galilee to go tell the good news to his disciples. Imagine being there on resurrection morning. Can you imagine experiencing those emotions as you come closer and closer and see a tomb that is now empty? Folks, if you have intentionally asked Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you can honestly proclaim that you believe in Easter. Because there's come a time in your life where you have looked to Jesus Christ and said, "I am a sinner by nature and by choice, and I realize that the only way for my sin ever to be forgiven on this earth is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ for me on that cross, that he died in my place on that Friday afternoon just outside the city of Jerusalem." If that's the case in your life, and simply you ask the Lord to come into your life, he promised you, just like he did to that repentant thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." The Bible's very explicit to the person who invites the Lord Jesus in their life. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then that familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, the only begotten Son, the only Son that God would ever have, Jesus the Messiah, that if you and I would believe, not simply believe there's a God, but trust him that he alone can save you, then you will never perish, but have eternal life. I believe in Jesus Christ because of the truth of the Word of God on this Easter Sunday morning, that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. The tomb is empty. He's no longer nailed to the cross. He sits at the right hand of his Father, constantly interceding for you and I, his kids, the genuine believers. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 28 for our scripture. These first 10 verses share that story. Listen, the first verse of Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, as the first week, our first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb, and suddenly there was a violent earthquake because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb, and he rolled back the stone and was sitting on top of it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow, and the guards were so shaken that they became like dead men. But the angel told the woman, don't be afraid, because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, because he's been resurrected. Just as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And then he then goes quickly and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. In fact, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Now listen, the angel said, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples the news. And just then Jesus met them and said, rejoice, good morning. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. There they will see me there. I have a question for you, for all of us in this house. Do you believe in Easter? I do. And this morning, I want to give you five reasons based on this scripture of why I, as your pastor, believe in Easter. And here's the first one. They're in your outline. If you would like to follow with me, write down the witness of the women. Folks, the first reason that I believe in Easter is the witness of the women, found in verse 1. These women could not anoint the body of Jesus on the Sabbath. They had to wait until after that time. Jewish law prevented doing anything on the Sabbath, and anointing a body was considered unclean because one must not even touch the body of a corpse on the Sabbath, according to the law. That's why Jesus had to have been entombed by 6 p.m. on our Friday evening, because that's when the Sabbath began. And the women came early on the first day of the week. They were excited. They wanted to be at the tomb at first dawn, so they left early. What they found, however, was not what they had expected, though even though Jesus said on the third day he would rise again. You see, on the way, they experienced that earthquake, completely different from anything. And I am convinced it drove those ladies to the ground and dazed them. And once they regained their balance and composure, they continued on to the tomb of Jesus, where Jesus' body had been entombed since Friday. Now, you and I both know the reason for that earthquake. God was breaking through our earthly existence to resurrect his only begotten Son from the tomb. Death couldn't hold Jesus anymore. Death couldn't defeat the power of God. And as the song says, the command was given by God to arise, my love. And that's exactly what happened. That earthquake was the power of God. When Jesus comes back to this world the second time, not the rapture, Not when he comes and takes the church out. We'll be gone. When he comes back for the second coming to set up his kingdom on this earth. The Bible says he's going to come back with a big bang too. This time the Bible says there's going to be such a bang that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No more quiet births in a manger. No more coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. This time he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the disciples, though, these men, they had fled to Galilee, nowhere around. Thank God for the ladies. They loved Jesus so. And they were faithful to come and anoint his body. Folks, because of their faithfulness, I am convinced God allowed those women to see the physical evidence of the resurrection of what God had already done before they got there or as they were coming. You see, I believe in Easter because of the witness of the women. And the witness of the women was to that angel that he rolled that stone away, and Jesus is not there. He has risen just like he said. There's a second reason I believe in Easter. The message of the angel. From verses 2 through 7 that we just read, the message of the angel was that the message of the Easter is what it says and what we began this service with. He is not here. He is risen just like he told you. Folks, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out of there, but to let you and I inside to see that it was empty. There were two types of tombs in those days. There were an arcomium and a cochine. Type tomb. And the difference in the tomb, the arcomium tomb was much like the mausoleums of today where you walk in per se. The cochine, however, were slabs that were cut of the rock inside a tomb. Cochine tomb had a channel cut in front so that the tomb could be sealed in a rut with a big rock, and then you would walk in, and inside cut were slabs, actually cut everywhere in the cochine tomb. Archaeologists believe today that it was, in fact, that type of tomb that Jesus was buried because his body was laid and put on the table. The body of Jesus had been wrapped in a clean, remember, pure cloth by Joseph of Arimathea when he took the body down. He wrapped that body in cloth. When was the first time that Jesus was wrapped in cloth? Do you remember? When he was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And now Joseph of Arimathea was wrapping him in fine linen again and laying that dead physical body of Jesus in the tomb. But the angel, have you ever thought about this? The angel sat on the top of the rock, not on the ground, not on the side. He wasn't standing there with his leg kind of bumped up against it. He was sitting on the top. Why? Authority, folks. Authority. God had overcome death. Jesus Christ was not dead. He was risen. And that was the message of the angel. That's exactly what the angel told those ladies, and that's exactly what the angel is telling you and me. God sent the angel of God to confirm the power of the resurrection to you and I. Everyone present saw that angel. The guards were so afraid. The Bible says in the Greek, they were scared stiff. Have you ever been so afraid you're trembling? That's exactly the word used here, the word phobos in the Greek. The women saw the angel. They couldn't look on him anymore because of the overwhelming Shekinah glory of God that emanated from that angel. Can you imagine standing at the empty tomb and the angel of God seated on that stone, the top of it, and now that stone that has been moved out of its rut where you can see inside where the body of Jesus had lain. I stand before you as your pastor today. I stand before this world to tell you that I believe in Easter this morning because of the message of that angel of God at that empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen. There's a third reason I believe in Easter. It's found in verse 8. It's called the urgency of telling his disciples. Actually, if you look back in verse 7, the Bible says, and go quickly, it says, and tell his disciples. I love that word quickly in the Greek. We pronounce it taku. Taku. Has kind of a bounce to it, I guess you'd say. It means to go without hesitation. It means to be fast. It means to be immediate. Now, Connie and I, our little grandson, Griffin, almost 3, you can say, get ready, get set. Now, he won't do this on cue, but most of the time, if I wanted him up here and wanted him to do that for y'all, he wouldn't do it. But if I'm in the living room with him, I'll say, Griffin, get ready, get set. Guess what he says? Go! Just that loud. Gets all excited. You remember that growing up as a kid. You remember what it is. When you say the word go, what happens? People go. That's taku. It doesn't mean to slowly get up out of your chair and move. Folks, I can't move as fast as Taku would want me to move right now, nor am I going to try it for you to see. Just take the fact, the same word that's used, it means get up and go. I remember my dad. When my dad wanted me to do something specific, you know, he'd say, now, Rand, if you'll go take care of this. And I had dad's authority. Y'all remember that growing up? But when my father wanted to make sure I understood exactly what he said to do, that he meant business, to get it done now, don't wait till tomorrow, don't wait 5 minutes, he looked at me and he said, Randy Michael Cheek. What did I do? I taku. There is an urgency that Jesus says, first, to tell the disciples that, hey, I'm alive. I'm alive, just like I said I would. Go to them quickly. And it says those ladies went, and they ran with fear and great joy. Remember an angel coming with fear and great joy once before? What about the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night? Remember that part of the story? And now the angel is back. And now the ladies are going with that fear and great joy. That great joy, mega phone, great voice, great joy, mega kara, to move forward in joy that's beyond anything we can ever experience. Folks, this world knows happiness, some people. But only the Christian, only the true, genuine believer can know joy, kara. Why? Because that's a spiritual gift of the Christian. That's given to you by God. Kara, that type of joy, is that no matter what you're facing, no matter what this world throws at you, deep down, gut level in your life, there is kara, there is joy. You may not be happy at that moment, but deep down, you know God is sovereign God of this universe. He's the one in control, and he's never going to leave you and never going to forsake you. And he proved that once again, even at an empty tomb. There was an urgency that Jesus said, go tell my disciples. That same urgency is as we live in the 21st century. We're not to wait. We are to tell the people. We are to proclaim. It was so neat yesterday watching Jesus being proclaimed right out there on that asphalt to my left and your right. And listening and watching the eyes of little children and as adults, and they heard the gospel story, both in English and in Spanish. I believe in Easter this morning because of the urgency of telling the message of our Lord's resurrection to his disciples. We can't keep quiet in the 21st century. We must tell. And then I believe in Easter today in the fourth place because of the worship of the resurrected Jesus found in verse 9. Wow. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and they grabbed him by the feet and worshiped him. There was Jesus as they were going quickly. The women grabbed him at his feet. Notice, they were going to give the discouraged disciples the message of Jesus' resurrection, but now they had witnessed the divine proof. Jesus himself had interrupted their going quickly to confirm the very fact that he had been resurrected. Now try to imagine this event taking place. Put yourself in the shoes of those women. Immediately, Jesus sees you and says, rejoice. What would be your first response, ladies and guys? awe, wonder, amazement, joy. All these emotions lived out in the grabbing, the Bible says, the grabbing of the feet of Jesus. That little word in the Greek means to grab and hold on to something as to never let go of it. It doesn't mean just grab something like this and put it down. The best way I can describe this to you is every one of you on TV has seen some of our soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and you've seen the wives and spouses of those soldiers, and the cameras zoom in on them as they all embrace and they just won't let go. They hold on for dear life. That's what the Bible is talking about, krato in the Greek. It means to hold on. These ladies were not only so glad to see Jesus, the Bible says that they held on to him because, you know, what it is, it's like that daddy's come home and that's from the armed services, and it's almost, it's saying, it's okay now, kids, daddy's home, and he's not going away anymore. I believe these were the emotions these women were experiencing. They didn't want to let Jesus go. They worshiped. Humility at the feet of Jesus. The Greek word for worship here is a little word we pronounce proskuo. It's where we get our word prostrate from. It means to fall on your face before. When we worship God, our hearts fall on our face before God. And that's exactly what these ladies did. They worshiped Jesus, and they would never be the same again. Folks, I believe in Easter because of the testimony of the women, because they saw Jesus, and I believe in the very fact because of their worship of the resurrected Jesus. But then there's a fifth thing. Then Jesus says something. Verse 10, remember that? Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, I go to Galilee, and there they will see me." It's on your screen, the commission to go and tell. Some perhaps in this day and time, believers have not gotten that message, or we hadn't taken it to heart. Go is an action word, taku. It requires something of you and me. We must get up from an inanimate state and move. And if we're going to do anything in this world, we must learn the reality of getting up from where we are in our comfort zone. The devil is pleased with us when he keeps us in our comfort zone. That means he's got you exactly where he wants you. And he perhaps doesn't bother you at all. There are no more fights anymore. There's no more spiritual warfare going on. You ever wondered why? Maybe the devil has infected you with that dreaded terminal disease called contentment. And therefore, he's got you exactly where he wants you. The Easter story tells us, get up and go. Tell the world. It's only when we move out from our comfort zone that God can use us. But then look what Jesus says to those ladies. Don't be afraid. We live in a world that is full of fear. You can't turn on any channel of news in this city, in this state, without hearing of who shot who murdered who stabbed whatever, and who broke into whose house at what time, and all the crime that's going on. But in the midst of all that, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord says to me and you, don't be afraid. Trust me. That's what he was telling those disciples. So our task is simple, folks. It's simply to go and to tell. To get up from where we're going and tell the message of Christ. My prayer is, over the years and weeks and months and decades that God allows that cross to be out there, that it will speak volumes to people when they're stopped right here on Austell Road, waiting for that traffic light. Maybe they've had a bad day. Maybe their heart is just overwhelmed with sin. Maybe they've just left their spouse. Maybe they've just been involved in a crime. And they look and see that cross. And for 1 or 2 or 3 seconds, they allow Jesus to invade their space. Wow. Telling people. That's what it's all about. You and me doing the same thing. I believe in Easter because of the witness of the women. A tomb was empty. Because of the message of the angel, he told me it was so. Because of the urgency of the message in telling the disciples, and that same urgency is today, because of the worship of the resurrected Jesus, which is what we're doing right here, and then because of Jesus' own words, Randy, go and tell. Edith Burns was the patient of a fine Christian doctor by the name of Will Phillips. Incidentally, a very, very true story. Dr. Phillips, strong Christian doctor who loved his patients, shared Christ with them. But his favorite patient was Edith Burns. And one morning, he went to his office with a heavy heart, and it was because of Edith Burns. When he walked into that waiting room, there sat Edith with her big black Bible in her lap. You see, she was earnestly talking to a young mother sitting beside her. Dr. Phillips knew why Edith was there and what she was doing. You see, Edith Burns had a habit of introducing herself like this. She would say, "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" Then she would explain the meaning of Easter, and many times, folks, people would be saved. Well, Dr. Phillips walked into that office, and there he saw the head nurse, Beverly. Beverly had first met Edith when she was taking her blood pressure, and Edith began by saying, "My name's Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" And Beverly said, "Why, yes, I do." And Edith said, "Well, tell me about what you believe about Easter." And Beverly says, "Well, it's about Easter egg hunts, it's about going to church, and it's about buying that new dress or suit to go to church on Easter Sunday." Well, Edith kept pressing her about the real meaning of Easter, and Edith finally led Beverly to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Dr. Phillips said, "Beverly, don't call Edith into the office quite yet. I believe there's another delivery. She's out there talking to someone else about asking them if they believe in Easter." It came time for Edith to be called back to Dr. Phillips' office, and being called back, Edith sat down when she took a look at the doctor and says, "Doctor, why are you so sad? Have you not been reading your Bible? Have you not been praying the way you ought to pray?" Dr. Phillips says, "Now, Edith, I am the doctor and you are the patient." And he looked at her and he says, "Edith, your report came back and it's not good. Edith, your leukemia has returned, and I must tell you that things don't look good for you to live much longer. You've had this disease a long, long time, and the lab reports reveal that it has come back stronger than ever." Edith says, "Why, Will Phillips, shame on you. Why are you so sad? Do you think God makes mistakes? You have just told me I'm going to be able to see my precious Lord face to face. You've told me that I'm going to celebrate Easter forever, and you're having trouble giving me my ticket?" Dr. Phillips thought to himself and says, what a magnificent woman Edith Burns is. Well, Edith continued coming to Dr. Phillips every day. And one day Christmas came, and the office was closed through January the 3rd. And on the day the office reopened, Edith didn't show up. And later that afternoon, Edith called Dr. Phillips and said she'd have to be moving her story into the hospital and said, "Will, I'm very near home, so would you make sure that they put women in the room with me so that I can ask them if they believe in Easter?" Will did just that. And women began to come in and out and share with that room, and many women during those weeks that she was in the hospital were gloriously saved. Everybody on the floor of that wing of the hospital and the patients were so excited about Edith, they started calling Edith, "Edith Easter." Everyone except Phyllis Cross, however. She was the head nurse. Phyllis made it plain that she wanted nothing to do with Edith because she thought Edith was simply a religious nut. She'd been a nurse in an army hospital. She'd seen all she had needed to see. She was the original person we would call the G.I. Jane. There was so much in her life that had happened. She was hard. She became very cold. She did everything by the book. And one morning, two nurses who were to attend to Edith were sick. And Edith had the flu, and Phyllis Cross had to go in and give her a shot. When she walked in, Edith had this big smile on her face. She said, "Phyllis, God loves you, and I love you too. I've been praying for you." And Phyllis looked to her and says, "Well, you can quit praying for me. I really think you're a religious nut. It won't work, Edith. I'm not interested." Edith, with that smile, says, "Well, I will pray, and I have asked God not to let me go home until you come into our family." Phyllis Cross says, "Then, Edith, you will never die, because that will never happen." And she walked out of the room. Well, every day Phyllis Cross would walk into that room, and Edith would say, "God loves you, Phyllis, and I love you, and I'm praying for you." And one day Phyllis Cross said she was literally drawn to Edith's room like a magnet would draw iron. She sat down on the bed, and Edith said to Phyllis, "I'm so glad you've come, because God told me that today is your special day." Phyllis said, "Edith, you have asked everybody here that question, do you believe in Easter? But you've never asked me." And Edith said, "Phyllis, I wanted to ask you so many times, but God told me to wait until you've asked. And now that you have asked," and Edith took her Bible and shared with Phyllis Cross the Easter story of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Edith said, "Phyllis, do you believe in Easter? Do you believe that Jesus is alive and that he wants to live in your heart? Do you believe the testimony of that angel? Do you believe the words of Jesus to go quickly, to tell others that the tomb is empty, that he is not here?" And Phyllis says, "Oh, I want to believe that with all my heart, Edith, and I do want Jesus in my life." And right there, this lady who had been so hard, so rough with Edith, prayed and invited Jesus Christ into her heart. And for the first time, Phyllis Cross didn't walk out of that hospital room. She was carried out on the wings of angels. Well, 2 days later, Phyllis came back in the room, and Edith says, "Do you know what today is?" And Phyllis says, "Why, Edith, it's a Good Friday." Edith says, "Oh, no, for you it's every day is Easter. Happy Easter, Phyllis." Well, 2 days later on Easter Sunday, Phyllis Cross came in to get some work, to do some work. She did some of her duties, and then she went down to the flower shop to get some Easter lilies for Edith, because she wanted to go up and see her and give them to her and wish her a happy Easter. When she walked into Edith's room, Edith was in bed, and that big black Bible was on her lap. Her hands were on that Bible, and it was open. There was a sweet smile on her face. And when Phyllis Cross went to pick up Edith's hand, she realized there was no pulse. Her left hand was on John 14. "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And in her right hand was the scripture, Revelation 21:4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There won't be any more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There won't be any more pain, for the former things have now been obliterated." Phyllis Cross took one look at that dead body, and then she lifted her face toward heaven. And with tears streaming down her cheeks, she said, "Happy Easter, Edith. Happy Easter." Phyllis Cross left Edith's body that day. She went out of her room and over to a table where two student nurses were sitting. Phyllis sat down beside them and said, "My name's Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter? Do you believe in Easter?" Father, I believe that we have presented the gospel. We have presented the very fact of what the empty tomb tells us on Easter Sunday, that He is not here, but He is risen. You took every sin that we would ever commit on a cross. So much to the point that your Father even literally turned this world dark because He could not look on sin. We can't handle our own sin, Father, much less the sin of the world, yet You took every sin we'd ever commit. So now, Lord, we face the question, just like Phyllis Cross did, do we believe in Easter? And Father, I ask that question of all of us. Lord, if there's a person in this room that does not believe in Easter, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. Thank You, Father, for the privilege to proclaim Your word. And Father, as we pray and we believe every time, if this is my last, then Father, thank You for the privilege that You give me week after week after week to simply tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive. I love You, Father. We love one another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand that little chorus, "I'll Say Yes"? Matthew and Daniel will be with me down here. Will you say yes to Jesus this morning by saying, "I believe in Easter" on Easter Sunday morning? I want you to come. Doug, lead us. Let's sing that little chorus right now.